जिस देश में जिस वेश में रहो,
जिस हाल में जिस देश में जिस वेश में रहो।
राधारमण 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 कहो,
राधारमण 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 कहो,
राधारमण 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 कहो,
राधारमण राधारमण।
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः, गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्।
विल डू द शांति पाठ। शांति पाठ करने में।
ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षु श्रोत्रमतो बलम् इन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्मनिराकुर्यां मामा ब्रह्मनिराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेयुपनिषत्सु धर्मा ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
हरि ओम्। टुडे वी हैव अ क्वेश्चन एंड आंसर सेशन। There were several questions that were asked by several of us in the class. So I have printed out a list of the questions. If you can pass it, it's double-sided. So please take a sheet. It is in the front and the back. The name of the seeker is also written, what the questions were. Mm-hmm. The protocol that we are going to follow for this question and answer session is very simple. First and foremost, a lot of us are not aware of how to use the mic. So if you, what is going to happen is for the recording, for the benefit of all of us, if we talk just sitting in our chair, it doesn't get recorded. So we would like to hear the question or the dialogue back and forth between the acharyas and ourselves. I would suggest the questions are already presented in a question answer format. Let the acharyas answer our questions, and if you have a counter question or anything to discuss, this will, please be aware of it, that if you just start talking, it will not get recorded. So please do not talk unless you have a mic in your hand. Shanji and Shankarji will have two microphones. So Shanji is going to address the right side. Shankarji is going to provide the mic to the people on the left side. Now the way you use the mic is like, how many of you have never eaten an ice cream cone in your life? So all of us have eaten an ice cream cone in our life. Handling the mic is like eating an ice cream cone. See, this mic doesn't bite you. So if you bring it, you have to bring it closer to your mouth, like you are eating an ice cream cone at a 45 degree angle. That way the recording is clear and all. If I do it over here, it doesn't work. If I talk like this, it doesn't work. It doesn't bite you. People get afraid to bring it closer to your mouth at a 45 degree angle. So please be aware, when the mic is handed over to you, it is your responsibility to make sure it is handled correctly. And then the recording will be there and it will benefit all of us. Hari Om.
This side is Shankarji and this side is Sanji. And Uncle Ji has his mic.
So start with the questions. If you are not satisfied, then use the mic. If you are satisfied, then it's okay. Otherwise, I think we will not be able to finish the all questions. My attempt will be to finish all questions in 1 hour. So the first question, this is again by Sanji. What part of the Keno Upanishad should I chant, remember, bring to attention on a daily basis so that I don't forget what I have learned? Chapter number 1, mantra number 1 is the question. Willed by whom, directed by whom, this organs of perception, this organs of action, prana and mind function. This is the question. Answer is given in the second mantra. It is pranas prana, srotras srotra, like that way. That is the answer. Upanishad is over. In the third mantra, it is said that you cannot reach it by organs of perception, organs of action, by mind or by intellect. Important part is this much. In the chapter number 2, it is said that it cannot be known as an object. That is mantra number 3 in chapter 2. And you can become. You cannot see him as an object, but you can become Brahman. Remember the Ajay Kumar. And the next mantra in chapter 2 is the 4th. Pratibodha viditam matam amritattam vibindate. Pratibodha viditam. If you want a practical tip, this is the way you can reach. Pratibodha. In each thought, you will find the illuminator. To go beyond thought, you will find him there. It is the pure awareness there. In chapter number 3 is the story part. And we have seen the essence of the story. The idea is that even if the devatas of the organs of perception and action, Agni Devata and Vayu Devata, if they cannot reach, that means the organs, sense organs also can't reach. If the presiding deity can't reach, the organs which they govern, they can't reach. And you have to remember 3 examples. Chapter number 4 is the 3 examples. Examples of lightning, example of winking, and example of mind. You go through the mind. And after getting the Brahma Vidya, you have to do the Tapa, Dhamma and Karma Yoga to continue that. Vidya should remain with you. So, for daily remembrance, this much is essential. Otherwise, you cannot leave even a single mantra, single word of the Keno Upanishad. For daily remembrance, you can do this thing. Then Sanji has given me another question. While practicing and learning about the Atman and Brahman, how do we make sure we don't ignore friends, family and act in a normal way? In other words, how do I build emotional intelligence and not get too abstract? You don't have to become abstract. You will have the emotions, but the Shastra will tell you, don't become emotional. Keep your emotions under control. Even if you have got the Brahma Vidya, you still will have the emotions. The Shastra is going to tell you to know the true nature of the world in which you are reveling. Know the true nature of the Atman also. Know the shortcomings of the Jagat which will never give you permanent happiness. Once you get to know all these things, then you will try to move toward a thing which will give you permanent happiness. We all seek happiness only. All beings seek happiness. On the same note, how do I avoid distraction during the journey of practicing and experiencing, learning about the Atman and Brahman? How do I avoid distraction? Jagat is always trying to attract you toward Jagat. And that is, according to the Shastra, is a sin. Going toward the Jagat is sin. What is Papa and Punya? Mahatma says, if you are going away from the Lord, it is Papa. If you are coming toward the Lord, it is Punya. So when you are going toward the Jagat, you are going away from your Atman, which is, Jagat is outside, and coming toward. And how to remove these distractions, there you require Sadhana Chatushtaya. We have studied in the Tattva Bodha. Sadhana Chatushtaya is Vivek, Vairagya, Sat Sampatti, and Mochan. Mumuchutvam is the first thing you require. I want permanent happiness. I am now fed up with the world. It is no more giving me permanent happiness. I am running after the happiness, happiness, happiness. Whole life I am running. But I never got permanent happiness. Once you understand this thing, then you have to do the viveka between nitya and nitya. We all are doing viveka every day. But our viveka is only between two anitya things. Whether I should buy this car or that car, both cars are anitya. Whether I should buy this house or that house, both houses are anitya. Whether I should buy this shirt or that shirt, both shirts are anitya. But we have to now discriminate between nitya and anitya. We have to have some dispassion, some vairagya from the Jagat. Why vairagya? Because I have understood now very well this Jagat will never give me permanent happiness and I want happiness. Vairagya will automatically come. It should be based on vivek. Don't force yourself. I want dispassion, I want dispassion. It will never happen. But if you start discriminating in this way, the vairagya will automatically come. And for getting that Brahma Vidya, you need Sat Sampatti. That is Samdham. Uparati, titicha, sraddha and samadhan. This is the money, this is the wealth you require for getting this thing. So to avoid distraction, you have to do the sadhan chatushtaya sampan, you have to do. Any other question? Are you satisfied? Okay. The next question is the Premalji. Chapter 1, Sloka 1, page number 51. Page number 51. Seeker rejecting the world as a field of meaningless strife and material life as an endless race to catch one's own shadow, what makes a person seeker? Is it Ishwar Kripa, Guru Kripa, Atma Kripa? And how can one become worthy of this Kripa grace? Could it be an event in one's life? You see, the first thing will start with the Atma Kripa. Unless you have got a little bit of Mumuchyutvam, that I want liberation, I want permanent folk, you will not start coming to the satsang. So Atma Kripa is the first. Ishwar Kripa is always there. Ishwar grace is always there. Guru Kripa is also there. But Atma Kripa is not there. Shastra Kripa is also there. If Guru is there, Shastra is there, Guru will explain you the Shastra. But But if the Atma Kripa is not there, if you are not ready, if the Mumukshutvam is not there, you will not enter this hall. There is no ticket there. There is nobody there to stop. But still people don't come. Atma Kripa is not there. So Atma Kripa is must. Then Ishwar Kripa, it is always there. There is no question. It is always raining. It's only the our vessel is like this, not able to receive. You have to open up yourself. Ishwar Kripa is there. And if you sincerely want, Guru is also available. And the Shastra Kripa is also there. The Atma Kripa is required. Could it be an event in one's life? The moment you start seeing the shortcomings of the world, you will take a U-turn. The moment you start seeing the true nature of the world. And what is the true nature of the world? Whatever is viditam is limited. It will die, martyam. And it will give you dukkha. Since it will give you dukkha, it should be rejected. And the word used by Shankaracharya is heya. It should be rejected. So we have to know all these things. So next, question 2, chapter 1, sloka number 4, page 82. Please explain and expound the phrase, philosophy without love is madness and love without philosophy is superstition. Gurudev writes, Vedanta is no annihilator of bhakti. No bhakta can be true one unless he is a Vedantin. And no Vedantin is perfect unless he be a lover of the Lord. Philosophy without love is madness. Love without philosophy is a superstition. You see, bhakti and jnana both takes you to the same place. You can start with your bhakti, then reach the jnana, or start with the jnana, reach the bhakti. How is that possible? Suppose you believe in bhakti marg. Very good. Because you are emotional. So when you start journey in the bhakti marg, what happens? You start doing worshipping the Lord. Then slowly you want to reach His loka, salokya, samipya. Then you want to go close. I want to go to Vrindavan. Then I want to see the Lord. I go to the temple, samipya. Then I want to dress like Lord, sarupya. In Dwarka, all pandas wear the same dress as the Lord, sarupya. Then ultimately, sayujya. You want to become one with the Lord. So by bhakti, or you want to know the Lord in essence, what is that? In bhakti marg, there is still duality. There is a bhakta and Bhagwan is there. But ultimately, bhakta merges into Bhagwan. Merges into Bhagwan means he gets the knowledge that in essence, the Lord and me is one and same. That we have studied in our Tattva Bodha class. Tattvam asi, I am that. So by bhakti marg you could reach the jnana. Or by the jnana marg, once by jnana marg if you come to know that Brahman, he is the president of all presidents. When a president comes, we get up. When the president of all presidents come, we do not revere him, we do not respect him, we do not worship him. Yes. So you are reaching the same place, either you start with the bhakti, end with the jnana, or start with the jnana, end with the bhakti. It will happen. Then question number 3, sloka 3, page 75. Page 75. Please explain the phrase one more time again. It is different from what is known and it is beyond what is unknown. The only way to explain truth is through the Agam Shastra. You see, the truth can be explained only by Agam, only by Shastra. It is, we call it Sabda Praman. All other Pramans will not be applicable here. Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman, and those are not required. Only the Sabda Praman is required. And Sabda Praman is the Agam, the Vedas. If you want to know anything about the Atindriya Vishaya, Veda Pramana. Anything which you cannot grasp by your Indriya, where you will get the knowledge of that? What is the source? What is the means of that knowledge? It is said Veda. Atindriya Vishaya, Veda Pramana. Now, vidita and abhidita. What is this vidita? Vidita means known. Abhidita means not known. Vidita means gross. Abhidita means subtle. Vidita means manifested. Abhidita means not manifested. So vidita, whatever is vidita, is all limited. We know this thing. All limited. And what will the result? Dukkham. Therefore, all viditam is to be rejected. Abhiditam is the reverse of that. And what is the reverse of that? Which is permanent. What is that permanent? Atman and Brahman is permanent. That should be gained or attained. Really, it's not gaining and attaining. It's only the knowledge. You become that, that's all. There is no question of gaining Atman. We all have the Atman. And that same Atman is Brahman only. So we only have to know, that's all. Very simple way to know what is viditam, abhiditam. Viditam, I know English. I don't know Sanskrit, abhiditam. Viditam means knowledge, abhiditam means ignorance. That tattva is beyond knowledge and ignorance. Clear? Viditam and abhiditam. In the Kenum, there's a story about Agni, Vayu and Indra. Does Indra represent the mind? Or is the Indra considered the Deva of mind? In Tattvabodh, Indra is said to be Deva of hand and moon is the Deva of mind. So could you please reconcile these different meanings of the term Indra? In Tattvabodh, we have studied, and it is correct, Hastayore Indriya. Who is the Devata of Hasta? Hasta Devata is Indra. And Manaso Devata Chandrama. The Devata of mind is Chandrama. Perfectly right. In Kenopanishad's story, we just wanted to tell you that the Indra represents the mind, that's all. It's not Indra, it's not Devata of mind. You see how we proceeded with that, the Agni Devta and Vayu Devta could not recognize that Yaksha. And the king of these Devtas, Agni and Vayu, is Indra. Indra is the king of all Devtas. Indra also went. He could not also recognize first. But he had some qualities. He waited there. Then Uma came, he got the knowledge. Here, in our body, we have studied the sense organs, organs of perception and organs of actions can't reach it. And the mind also, that was stated in mantra number 2 itself. No, sorry, 3. You cannot reach it by your vaag, you cannot reach it by your chakshu. Na mano, na vidnaho, not by intellect, not by mind. That was stated. The same thing was stated in the form of story. So don't take that the Indra there means the Devta of mind. No. We are comparing sense organs. Leader of all sense organs is the mind, because all sense organs report to mind. Similarly, here the Devtas, Indra, I mean the Vayu and Agni, they are under Indra. So we compared Indra with the mind. It's not the Indra is devta of mind. Indra represents that mind. It's clear? Then page 58, second paragraph. When we see a pot, the mind runs out through the eye, reaches the spot where the pot is, takes the form of the pot, and when the Chaitanya in the pot thus embraces the Chaitanya spark in our mind, we come to know that it is a pot. This is the process of how we perceive an object. So mind is required, mind associated with the organs of perception reaches the sense object and covers it. The stimuli goes to the mind, then the mind refers it to the memory and tells this is a chair. Or this person is this, this person is this. This is the job. But suppose Maya comes into play. Maya, sattva, rajas, tamas. What happens? Tamogun will veil. Tamogun will veil the truth. And rajogun will project. And sattva guna will help you to come to know the truth. So in the Maya itself, tamas and rajogun will mislead you. Sattva guna will help you to come out of it. And all jiva has rajogun, tamogun, pradhan. We all have got malin sattva. That malin sattva is not sufficient to know your own atma. And these three gunas always, they go up and down, up and down, up and down. So the question is, in the page number 60 also, mind goes out and seeks the object and takes the shape of object. Perfectly right. Now the question is, when a person sees a snake in the rope, why the mind does not perceive the rope as a rope and take the shape of the rope? Why does the mind perceive rope as a snake? Is the prior knowledge of the snake makes the mind to perceive a rope as a snake? Will a person who has never seen a snake perceive a snake in a rope? You see, if there is a rope and if 100 people are seeing it, it's not that all of them will see it as a snake. Some of them will see rope as a rope. Some will see because of the tamogun, it will cover the rope. And it will project a snake. Why snake? Because you have got a impression of the snake may not be in this life. It can be in your previous life you have seen the snake, that impression is still there and you project a snake. And it's not like that all ignorant who are not seeing the rope will be seeing snake only. Some will say it is a danda, it is a stick. Somebody will say it is bhuchidra, it's a crack in the earth. Some will say it is a dry garland. So the projection is different. Same thing is seen by many people. Most of them will see rope as a rope. Some will see as a snake. Other may see as a bhuchidra, a crack in the earth. Some may see as a stick lying. So when there is a tamogun playing, it covers and projects. Rajogun will project. When the knowledge will come, the sattvagun comes, then you come to know that there is no snake, no stick, no crack in the earth, no dry garland. It is rope. So the impression of this garland, stick, bhuchidra, that is already with there in our impression. and that we superimpose on it. It is ignorance. Question number 2. This book promised twice, Pretyasmat Lokat Amrita Bhavanti, becomes immortal, is the fruit promised by the Shruti for a man who has perfected himself in Vedantic sadhana. End of the page 128 and 129. Right. In the other books we studied, Sravan, Manan, Nidhi, Dhyasan are the steps given for God realization. If the worldly duties do not permit a person to spend enough time to do Manan and meditate, just having the knowledge will not lead to anything. It feels like now and here may not happen in this world. Is there a solution for this? What is the suggestion given by the Shrutis? Can having Mumukshutvam alone guarantee realization? Mumukshutvam is the first step for starting the journey. And this will give you immortality, there is no doubt about this. All Mahatma, those who have reached that state, they all certify that whatever stated in the Sabda Praman, in the Shrutis, is correct. You will become immortal. And we can prove it beyond doubt that you will become immortal. Because that tattva, that essence, that Atman, that Brahman is birthless, deathless. It is eternal. And you are that. It can be proved beyond doubt. Now the question comes regarding the worldly duties. Worldly duties are there. It will remain there. But as you progress, the scriptures guarantee that your worldly duties will reduce. Thakur Ramakrishna used to give a beautiful example. Daughter-in-law has become pregnant. And mother-in-law is there. She is working for the first month pregnancy, second month, third month. When the 9th month comes, the mother-in-law says, now you don't work. You take rest. Duties over. Lord will see. You start walking. You will find the duties are all slowly no more there. In Bhagavat also you will find a story of a Lord going to a rich person's house and he welcomes Lord with lot of things and he says, pray, Lord, give us me some more, I want some more wealth. Lord gives him more wealth. The next he visits a Brahman, a poor Brahman with one cow. He also worships Lord and the Lord realized that his only attachment in this world is this cow. Killed his cow. So go on, start your journey, don't wait that this duty will be over, then I will be able to do it. No, that will never happen. If you think that you will take a bath in the sea when the waves subside in the samudra, it will never happen. It will never happen. So start your journey. Muchutam. The phrase now and here is very promising. When we try to achieve something to fulfill worldly desire, it may become selfish action and hurt others. Just like the worldly desires overpower the mind, the desire to make the spiritual progress may also affect the duties and responsibilities. Will the desire to make spiritual progress be considered as selfish? No. You have started your journey, you have taken U-turn. So that type of desire is required. That desire is required, that I want to know Atman. If you think that also is a selfish desire, no, that is not a selfish desire. It's a good desire. But whatever duties Lord has given to you in your family, that also you have to do and the balance your life. And now and here will happen. The purification part takes time. Knowledge will take 1 second. Purification will take a lot of time. and we have studied in our Panchadasi Aneka Janma Bhajanat. So we should not stop doing our sadhana. Help will come, don't worry. Last question, 124, second paragraph. There is an unchanging entity in us who is experiencing all our waking life, dream world and sleep bliss. We were told that the Brahman is Akarta. If both Brahman and Atman are the same, why Atman is experiencing the thoughts? Amma, you please open page number 73. Last but one paragraph, the year of the year cannot be the year itself, just Sri Dorai, son of so and so and so. So there you will find it is also a fact that the Atman is the theme or the subject. It is not a thing with a quality or action. Atman is not a thing with any quality. Quality means guna, guna means sattva, rajas, tamas, without a quality, or action. There is no action. Where did we study that? We studied in Isavasya Upanishad that the Atman has got no gross body, no subtle body, no causal body. Therefore, Atman cannot act. For any action, you need gross body, subtle body and the causal body. Therefore, Atman is akarta always. But your reference, how it is experiencing inside, inside us it is experiencing as a sakshi, as a witness. It is not the Atman which is experiencing, it is not the Brahman experiencing as it is. Brahman's reflection, chidabhas, chit chaya, these are the words we use. It's not that, chit pratibimba, reflection. That reflection reflects all our experiences. It's not directly by the Brahman. Reflection in the mind, and in our Kindle life, Gurudev has explained it very clearly. Suppose the room is dark, sun is outside, you put a bucket there outside, the reflection of the sun comes into the bucket and that reflection enters the room. With that reflected light, you are able to see all the objects inside the room. Sun is not directly illuminating, it is through the reflection. So this concept of mind will come in Atmabodh. Is your question, na? It will come in the Atma.
Same example is given.
Huh? It came in the Drigadisha. So after this Tattvabodh, we are going to start the Atmabodh. All Vedantic concepts will be there. All concepts on the Vedanta will be covered in that. Now, to gain the essence of Keno Upanishad knowledge, one has to do tapa, dama and karma. There is no sadhana or no mantra required. After getting the knowledge, like milk, the container of the body has to be kept clean so one can sign in the Brahma Vidya and abide in the Brahma Vidya obtained. One has to continue to do the practice of the tapa, dama and karma which was being done earlier to get the knowledge. This appears to be oxymoron since once the knowledge has been understood, the jiva will abide in it and live it naturally like breathing. So there should be no effort required to abide in it. Would it not be natural to abide in it without having to exert any effort? Am I missing something here? First I said nothing is required, no sadhana is required after you get the Brahma Vidya. Come to know that you are Ajay Kumar. After that, nothing is required. But I also said that in scripture it is said the prapti ke sadhan, Brahma Vidya prapti. For getting this knowledge, what you have to do? You have to do tapa. What is this tapa? the greatest tapa is the making your mind and senses concentrated and single-pointed. This is stated as the greatest tapa to get the knowledge. And once this energy is conserved, how can you concentrate your mind on one, on that Atman, on Brahman, unless you withdraw from the world? So once you withdraw from the world and make your mind and senses single-pointed, then you are conserving energy. This energy should not dissipate through my organs of perception and action, so therefore dhamma is required. After tapa, the energy saved should not dissipate through my organs of perception or action, therefore dhamma, control is required. Then where do I utilize this conserved energy? Karma yoga. You have to do actions for the happiness of the Lord. That is the prapti ke sadhan. These are the means to get the Brahma Vidya. And again I say, after getting the knowledge, nothing is required. No pranayam, no asana, no mantra, nothing. It's over. But I gave you three examples. For learning the Brahma Vidya, no Sanskrit is needed. But after getting the knowledge, if you think, let me study once again, I want to learn it in Sanskrit, definitely you will enjoy more. After getting the knowledge, if you want to study and study Vedas and Upanishads, you will get definitely more joy, you will enjoy. You are reveling in the Brahman only. Second example I gave, that if you want to enjoy anything in the world, mind should be not disturbed, mind should not be agitated. Suppose you go to the cinema, you are going there for entertainment, but if the mind is not cooperating, mind is agitated, will you enjoy the cinema? No. Similarly, the Brahma Vidya you have to enjoy, and the mind is an obstacle in that. To keep the mind peaceful, what do you have to do? Don't you have to do the tapa? Withdraw your mind from the world, concentrate it on the Brahman. Therefore it is a tapa. Control yourself, dhamma, and whatever energy you have got, serve, karma yoga. Third example I said, that the Brahma Vidya is pure like milk, which requires a special type of pot. Special type means it should be clean, otherwise the milk will get spoiled. Similarly, where is the Brahma Vidya? In this body. After getting the Brahma Vidya, body will not fall. Body will be here. So keep that Brahma Vidya. If we keep the body clean, outside and inside, that will help us to abide in the Brahma Vidya and sign. If you continue this practice, this will help you. You will enjoy more. You see, after realizing that you still have got the choice. Choice going back to the world, your choice. You will not be affected by the world because you have got the Brahma Vidya, you know. But the better way is to withdraw yourself. Do the tapa, dhamma and karma. In Bhagavat it comes, Dhautatna Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesa Pantha Swasarnam Yatha. Dhautatna Purusha, a person who has cleaned himself, purified his mind, and in bhakti he has reached the Lord. Krishna Padamulam Namunchati, after that he will not leave the Krishna Pad, his feet. Even after getting, we will not leave. It will be there only. Mukta sarva pariklesa pantha swa sarnam yatha. The example, beautiful example is given, mukta pantha. The pantha, a tourist, you have gone out on the tour. When he comes back, because there were lot of obstacles, lot of difficulty faced in the journey, when he comes back, he doesn't want to go out of his home. And this happens with every day with us. When we come back from our work, after that somebody tells you, chalo thoda bahar. Similarly, once you get the Brahma Vidya, you will not like to leave it after that. The worldly things will not attract you. Just to keep and guard, go on doing the same thing. Mausaro. It is said that during meditation, after you have withdrawn your senses from the gross object, that one should observe the procession of thoughts go by. Is it possible for the thoughts to stop marching in the same way as they occur and for the jiva to experience the thoughtlessness? It was also mentioned that one has to wait for the thoughts to subside. While one is waiting but still watching the procession, is it advisable to do japa? Is there any other suggestion how to achieve this important milestone? You see, there are two types of thought. One is vijatiya vritti pravaha, another is sajatiya vritti pravaha. Vijatiya vritti pravaha means different types of thoughts are coming, one after another. We call it vijatiya vritti pravaha. Another is the sajatiya vritti pravaha. Same type of thoughts. So in the vijatiya vritti pravaha, when the vijatiya vritti pravaha, the procession of the thoughts are coming, you stay as a sakshi, that's all. Don't identify with the thought and go out with the thought. Because different type of thoughts are coming, the thought which I like, I get identified and go out. So it is said that you be only sakshi, like the president on a Republic Day in India. He sees the procession. When one contingent has passed, he sits down. Again, then the next comes, he again gets up and salutes, accept the salute. But if the next day one of the soldiers of one of the contingent comes, sir, I was in the parade. Did you see me? What the president will say? No, I didn't see you. I was only witness, sakshi. Procession by procession. A time will come, the procession will end. And the length of the procession depends on the vasana inside you. Procession will end. When the procession ends, you are there. Because we know what is mind. Consciousness plus thought is equal to mind. Consciousness plus thought is equal to mind. Mind minus thought is equal to consciousness. When the thought, then the procession has stopped. Then the light which was illuminating all the thoughts, still there. Pratibodha vititam matam, still there. This is vijatiya vritti pravaha. Vijati means different types of thoughts are coming. Vijati. But you can do it sajatiya vritti pravaha. You can take the help of any mantra. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. You see, in both cases, Triputi is there. What is Triputi? Experiencer, experienced, and experiencing. Three things are continuously going on. But if you start this Sajatiya Vritti Prabhava, which is called Nididhyasana, Sajatiya Vritti Prabhava is called Nididhyasana. And what is the starting point? Sravan, Manan, then Nididhyasana. Uttam Adhikari, Sravan Matrena Jnanam Bhavati. No Manan required, no Nididhyasana required, no meditation required. In our Vedanta, meditation is not necessary. Sravan matrena jnanam bhavati katam. You need not reflect. But if you have got any doubt, then reflect. Do the manan. Make your knowledge doubt free. If you want to verify whether it is there or not, go into the meditation. You will find it. Let the procession of all the thoughts stop. You will find it is there. So by Vijatiya Vritti Prabha, as a witness, you can stay there. Or if you want to take as a Sajatiya Vritti Prabha, that also you can do it. And what will happen? This chanting of mantra at one point of time will stop. You don't have to do anything. Your duty is only to do that Aham Brahmasmi, 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 Aham Brahmasmi. Three things, Triputi is going on. Then all of a sudden it will drop. Then the process of doing is no more there. And the person who is doing, he is also not there. So what remains? The object on which we are meditating, that is there. Only the Deya Vastu will be there. You have reached there. You have gone beyond mind, beyond your intellect. But when you come out of that, you cannot define, you cannot describe. Because your organs of perception, mind and intellect were no more available at that point of time, so they cannot come and say you have experienced this. So you can go this way or that way, whatever way you like. You can take the help of Sajati, Vritti, Prabha, Nididhyasana, you can do. Over. Now any question, come on the Ken Upanishad. If your answer is, I mean the question is not answered, you can ask me.
This probably relate to any sastra, but we had a couple of weeks ago in our class, we did Sloka 20 of Upadeshara, which is the destruction of ego. Mm-hmm. And there's always a question raised where you are not prepared for it. So the question was raised that when do you start thinking about destructing your ego? Is it at age 51 when you become vanprastha? So I thought I'll ask Uncle Ji that when do you start thinking about destructing ego?
You see, in Hindi we will say, jab jaage tab sabera. It depends on you. Shankaracharya at the age of 8. Started. It depends on the individual person. Nachiketa also at the age of 8-9. Nachiketa also 8-9. Jab jaage tab sabera. My guru also, Swami Advaitananda, he did his mechanical engineering and after that he heard Gurudev chain. Swami Swarananda did his computer, I think he did, computer and IT. At that time, most lucrative engineering at that time, computer, even IT is now also is very good. Left. Came this side. It depends on us. If you want it, it is available. The next time you say, jab jaage tab sabera. It's up to you.
It is better late than never.
It's better late than never. Good. Yeah. Any questions?
I think we learned that all thoughts are inert and then the thoughts are already there. So the thoughts of our emotions like anger, jealousy, they are already there. So sometimes some thoughts hit our mind. You know, we are not even thinking in that direction, they come. And then the thought is already there, we are not creating. So when we hold on to that thought and then continue, are those thoughts created in our mind or are they are all already there?
You see, these are all emotions, na? Thought of anger, thought of jealousy, hatred. These all are thoughts. These are all seen also. You also come to know that I am angry now. The hatred is there. So these thoughts are all, we are seeing it, we are experiencing it. These are all drishya, and all drishya are inert. We always have to remember, whatever is seen is inert. Anything which is inert is a perishable. Anything which is perishable is a mithya. And anything which is mithya is not there. It is asat. It is difficult for all of you to understand asat part now, but if you continue the sadhana, you will come to know it's not there also. Whatever is seen, it is inert. And whatever is inert is perishable. Whatever is perishable will give you sorrow. These all thoughts are seen, these all thoughts are giving you sorrow. They all will end also. And they are not there. Mithya means what? Stay for a one period of time. They were not there earlier. Anger was not earlier. Anger will not be after. It is for a some period of time. So therefore it is mithya. And the mithya is asat. Mithya is asat. It's not there.
There is no question.
Go down.
If there are any more questions, then this is the last chance, few minutes. One more. There is one more announcement before we disperse, that's all.
Okay, we have gone through this journey of understanding Keno Krishna, Keno Upanishad from start to end.
In terms of the complexity and the length of the volume, do you consider this as a smaller text compared to other Upanishads, or average, or a bigger one?
The smallest is Mandukya Upanishad with the 12 mantra only. Isavasya has got 18, we have done Isavasya. And after Isavasya, Keno Upanishad, you can say, is very simple. But the Mandukya is very difficult. We do the Mandukya at the end of all Upanishad, because those 12 mantra relate to only Om, and on which Gaudapadacharya has written a karika, more than 200 verses explaining 12 mantras. He has written more than 200 verses. We call it karika. And who is Gaudapadacharya? No, Guru of Shankaracharya is Govinda Padacharya. Guru of Govinda Padacharya is Gaur Padacharya.
Dada Guru.
Dada Guru. He has written more than 200 verses, so it's very deep.
And Shankaracharya has written commentary on that, Bhashya on that, those karikas.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Sri Rupurna Hari Om. And 5th of June we are starting, next week no class. And 5th of June, we are starting Vivek Chudamani.
Hari Om. On behalf of the class, I'd like to thank our Acharyas one more time for giving us this valuable discourse. We finished Keno Upanishad. There were 12 sessions. They are on the cloud for your review and continued course. As Uncle Ji said, next week there is no class because of the Memorial Day. And we will be starting Vivek Chudamani.
from June 5th. The textbook is there in the bookstore. So those of you who haven't purchased it, I would suggest getting a copy and reading the first 5 chapters. That is your assignment in the next couple weeks, so that we are prepared to receive what Uncle G is going to be giving us.
So Uncle G will be starting from the front, or they are selected slokas?
This is a college level course, so in college you are not told what to do, teacher doesn't give it to you. So that is why, since we are entering the college level now, the assignment, we have 2 weeks. So besides covering the 12 chapters of Keno Upanishad, which is only 12 hours, we have to cover the next 5. Hari Om.